and welcome to episode 4 of Southern Austin. What are you laughing at?
You getting amped up to say hello and welcome.
I mean, like, going into episode 2, you're like, now start the episode with a little bit of energy. So ever since then, like, I've taken your note to heart, and I'm, like, making sure, you know, I'm
not saying
just
it
like,
out loud.
Hello. Energy. Welcome to
energy. Energy.
I'm reminding myself. No, I said it once. Don't act like I'm some weirdo saying the same thing over and
over. How many times do you say it in your head?
I don't remember.
I'm proud of you. Proud of you. Southern Hostility. Here we go.
Southern Hostility, episode 4, before I was railroaded by Justin quietly cackling.
A New Hope.
Yes, we're finally out of the prequels. We're into the quality trilogy.
So I'm whiny Luke.
Yeah. Eventually, we'll go back and record Rogue One.
To kind of put them together.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like the, you know, mid, early August edition.
Yeah. All right. So, you took a nice little trip.
Yeah.
You went up to Michigan
and went
to the home of the U.S. hockey program.
Yeah. It was fun.
World Junior Summer Showcase.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun.
Next topic. Oh, no.
All right. No. All right, well, that's it for the show.
No, it was great. Now, the USA Hockey Arena is located in Plymouth, Michigan. Used to be the home of the Plymouth Whalers of the OHL. Those Whalers moved to Flint, became the Flint Firebirds.
Yeah.
So, it used to be called CompuWare Arena. It's still called CompuWare Drive or something like that. But that's where USA Hockey moved from Ann Arbor to Plymouth, Michigan to have their entire program. They renovated the center as an NHL-sized rink and an Olympic-sized rink as well. So you had USA, Canada, Finland, and Sweden all present there. At the beginning of it, USA had two teams, Canada had two teams, and had to whittle it on down basically to the teams they're expecting to participate in the World Junior Championship at the end of December, and five Predators prospects took place in it.
Yeah. It looked like a lot of fun, which was interesting because on TV it didn't seem like there were a lot of fans there.
There weren't.
No, which I kind of feel like some of these markets are kind of spoiled with like the U.S. hockey stuff. It'd be interesting to see them spread that around. It seems like U.S. soccer does a good job of that. Mm-hmm. They'll take things on the road, which is nice because it gives every fan an opportunity to witness it. I think U.S. hockey could learn a little bit from that, but I digress.
And they're still working on that as well. It's mostly scouts
and
organizational reps and things like that, which is totally expected. Now, granted, I was there mostly on weekdays.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more understandable there. The big stuff happened, you know, USA-Canada happened on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the first game was at 4 o'clock Eastern time and then game at 7. So it's more difficult. I think there was a bigger turnout for the Saturday USA-Canada rematch.
Yeah.
They had there, but still lots of scouts. That's what it's really there for, is for these scouts to see how their players are developing. Not many on any team were eligible for the 2018 draft. So most are people that work within the orgs that are there basically to get an update on how their draft picks are doing. And things like that. They're a little bit of a who's who of who in hockey. There are some fans that are walking around with playing cards, trying to get autographs, and have their notebooks flipping because they had them all organized by tabs.
Yeah,
and getting autographs and making sure they're taking a picture of the person so they get a COA much more quick. It's like, here's a COA, here's a picture of him and the date. but now I got digressed.
Yeah,
it was really neat to see these teams out there because you could tell. They were getting chippy and feisty in these games. And these are showcases. They don't count for anything. All they're doing is these players are trying to impress the staffs of their country's team to hopefully participate in the World Juniors. Because when you think between the U.S. and Canada, there's a lot of stacked talent nowadays between those two teams. And obviously Sweden and Finland have a lot of talent too now. Like, there's majority, all of them have been picked in the draft.
Yeah. Sweden and Finland fans would not be happy about that mix up. They do not like each other.
I do apologize. You can tweet me at Justin B. Bradford if that offends you.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned chippiness in these games. Games like this are so important to the individual. It's determining whether they make the team or not. They have more invested. So when somebody's lifting your stick or, you know, pushing you against the boards or something like that, you're trying to prove that you're worthy of making the team. I'd probably get ticked off a little bit easier in that situation. Whereas once you've made the team, you know, okay, I can breathe a little bit. I just need to focus on being a part of the team as opposed to showcasing my individual talent.
Especially when Canada and U.S. had to go through a round of cuts during the showcase.
Yeah.
As well, so you have these kids out there battling between two different teams. They see what another team's doing. The Canada had the red and white. USA had the white and blue teams going. So you're battling against people that you aren't even on the ice with when you're practicing, because they're practicing separately as well. Mm-hmm. And so you're having to go through all that to try to hopefully impress this coaching staff, where some of these people probably haven't seen you play in a long time, or they're just seeing you play in person or practice in person for the first time in a long time or ever, and you're trying to make an impression very, very quickly to hopefully participate in something that doesn't take place for another 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it tough. It makes it really tough. But they're Preds prospects definitely looked good out there.
You mentioned five Preds prospects. How many of those made the teams?
All but one made the final showcase roster. And that's not saying that they won't make the World Junior roster, but they were cut then. So Grant Mismatch was the one that was cut from Team USA. Now, I kind of saw that coming because for Team White is who he's playing for. He was playing in the fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, you can see the role they're trying to give him because he was throwing his body around. He was being the coach. Coach called him very ornery. I'm going to have to try to get that under control a little bit. People are like, no, his last name has Smash in it. Don't control that. But you can see that he likes to use his body, but he also has a lot of speed.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to get involved in the plays. And he's, gosh, he threw elbows a couple times.
Oh,
they,
no.
They get caught for it. But there are a couple things I think if everybody saw on Twitter.
Yeah.
The hit that he put on down by the boards, he was demolishing players on the ice. He was absolutely demolishing players. And you know what? For a young kid like that, demolishing guys, can you imagine when he gets three, four more years of muscle mass on him? So he was cut. David Ferentz, Patrick Harper both made the finals for Team USA. Same with Gerard, Dante Fabro, of course, made it for Canada, just given the fact of their stature within Canada.
Yeah.
Right now, Fabro was looking like a leader on the ice and how he's running drills and helping with that. But he was not the best-looking defenseman out of the Predators' D-men prospects out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so same with Gerard. I think most people even agree now after seeing what he was able to do in junior last season. He, I think, has kind of jumped what people are expecting out of him, which is great. Dante Fabro, the route that he's taken is a college route. You're playing less games. You're also balancing school. Totally okay. And defensemen, as we all know, because we had to go through Seth Jones' era for a couple of years, they take a while to really grow up a little bit, and that's okay. Look at Ellis. It took him a few years. Look at Ekholm. He got sent back to Europe before. It takes time, and that's okay. Fabro's just taking a different route, and it's okay. He still has a lot of talent, a lot of potential there, so people want to start railing on him after he had a slow freshman year. It's okay. Settle down.
You mean Seth Jones being drafted fourth overall, he should have been our best defenseman right away. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, forget Shea Weber at that time. Who?
That era of being a Predators fan, having to listen to people doubt Seth Jones so often, it was so frustrating.
And blaming him for everything.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't even on the ice. It's Seth Jones' fault.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. The new Kevin Klein is what he was for a while.
Yeah. Game winner in the hold on.
We still on the WJSS?
Yeah.
Okay.
End goal.
Oh, Ferentz, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And go.
Ferentz did like a beautiful end-to-end goal. Were you there for that? I think you had left at that point, correct?
You just want to rub it in, don't you? you just want to rub in that Ferentz was a late addition to the USA squad. He actually was added the day I arrived in Michigan, and then he had one day to get acquainted everything. Like, what helps is that he was part of the development team program, which means that's where he was training already, so he's familiar with the facilities, things like that, a lot of the coaches, all that. But I don't want to say he looked rough. You could tell he was trying to get reaccustomed to being in the team setting. You see the potential there. And then all of a sudden, he goes full Bobby Orr, end-to-end, he chips the puck over the defenseman's stick to himself.
Yeah.
And then scores a game-winning goal. I mean, that was ridiculous. And then this is after I posted my scouting report on David Ferentz, which I will say right here, once he activates his speed out of the zone, watch out. We'll take it from defensive blue line into the zone and get a shot off. No one cared when I first tweeted out the scouting report about David Ferentz. And when I was doing the polls of which video do you want to see prospect reports of first, it was Favreau, then Girard, then Mismatch, and then Ferentz and Harper were somewhere near the bottom. Well, after the next poll, after Girard was done, it was all David Ferentz then, because all of a sudden people care about David. Pay attention to their prospects, folks. Not just after one beautiful goal, which is absolutely beautiful, but just pay attention to him. And so he has a lot of potential in him with the way he's been trained, the way he's upcoming, and he's going to be at BU as well with Favreau and Harper. So there's something great that's going to be going on there. But anyways, thanks, Cameron, for triggering me.
Well, I knew you were so proud of like you predicting him to do well, so go ahead and pat yourself on the back.
Oh, now you're just being an ass. I see how this is.
We've got this like group chat thing with me, Justin, and our producer, Ben. And like the moment that goal happened, here comes Justin like, oh, I love it when my scouting report is correct. And he posts the link to it. And
it feels really good.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you're investing so much time into predicting what these players are going to be.
Yeah.
When you see it all come together, and it's like, that's exactly what I said he was going to do.
And another part of the scouting report. Head is always on a swivel / very aware of play around him.
Mm-hmm.
That shows right there, too, how you're able to take it from end to end. Be able to do that. He's very aware of his surroundings, and the defenseman just kind of,
I know when I'm playing hockey right now, I don't know where anyone is. And you have to be very aware of where people are if you're going to skate it end to end like that. It's just, I can't even imagine being able to do that.
Well, to move along, so I know we got to keep the discussion going, Patrick Harper. Now, he had a great start to his year in college at BU last year. And, I mean, putting up so many ridiculous points. He's small. But even when asking the USA head coach about it, he doesn't act small. And they know that. So they don't even use the term small, because he is so quick with his hands and with his feet. He creates so much space around him. It is a joy to watch Patrick Harper play, because he uses his size to help with his agility and his shiftiness. He's so shifty on the ice, because what he's able to do with his puck handling skills is you don't know when he's going to pass it or shoot it, because he's so fast. And I hate bringing up the name, but Patrick Kane fast in terms of what he's able to do with the stick and the puck.
Yeah.
And that's what it kind of reminds me of with his handling of that. That's what should make people excited about Patrick Harper, because he's doing this and he's so young already. So if he continues to develop the way he should be developing, talk about a steal.
Yeah.
A major steal, Patrick Harper.
Definitely. Do you have anything else on World Junior Shuttles?
Yeah. I mean, Team Canada, it was fun to see Samuel Girard out there. He was what I saw with the difference between him and Dante Farabo, and it might have just been the play that was happening.
Yeah.
He got involved in the play way more in the defensive end, a lot more physical, not afraid to throw on his body. And speaking with these guys afterward, that's the thing, too. Go to penaltyboxradio.com. You can see video interviews. I'm continually putting these up and the scouting reports and these guys up. And the Samuel Girard one was great, just because I talked to him about playing with Dante Favreau, going back to junior because he's so accomplished already. But Girard really impressed me the most, because he almost looked pro ready. I mean, he got a taste of pro. He played 6 games in Milwaukee last season when he was done with junior season, and you're able to do that. So he already got a taste of that. He scored a goal in pro. So he's going to be ready. As soon as he gets done with junior next year, he's going to go to Milwaukee, and he's going to be able to produce, unless they make a really deep run with the Cadillacs. So I was excited for Girard Favreau. Talking to him, too, it's kind of neat to hear him and Harper talking about facing each other with USA Canada. Because I was trying to spurn a little bit of edginess from them, saying, hey, do you guys talking trash to each other? You know, because Canada, USA, and there's some bad blood there from World Juniors. They go, no, when we're at BU, we only talk about BU. But I get a few shots in. That's what Harper basically said. And Faber just kind of avoided it. But they do talk, they support each other. They like each other. They actually met early on in the handshake line after Team White absolutely demolished Canada. It was Canada's first game of the showcase. So that's okay. Mm-hmm. They were a little rusty. But, I mean, demolished. It was like they went for the two-point conversion. Demolished.
I don't even care how early it is. I just love hearing about the U.S. beating up on Canada.
And they did. Yes. And they did. They very much did. But it was a fun event. One of the things is going to keep going. The USA hockey staff was absolutely great to me. And was great to see, too, is there's some, especially later on in the showcase, some big-time national media coming there. You know, The Athletic was present there. Craig Custance was there. Julie Robenheimer, who I know does a lot with college and junior hockey and travels mm-hmm. around North America to do that, was there the whole time. So lots of good people were there covering this event. And you know what, folks? It is a late July, early August hockey event. There is zero hockey going on at the time unless it's beer league.
Yeah.
So this is your opportunity. And really, like I say, they're future stars, legit future yeah. NHL stars on the ice. And you can get up close. It is an old school hockey arena where the concourse is completely open and you can watch from the concourse, watch the game.
Yeah.
You're seeing future stars. And that's where I'm going. Like you were saying earlier, that people are a little bit spoiled mm-hmm. because if I'm thinking me, I would go all the time.
Oh, that yeah. was here. If it happened here, I'd be at every single game.
You know how much day passes were for the first weekend? $5 for two games.
Ah!
And then it was $15 for the later in the showcase games when they've already made the cuts. But yeah. still, $15 for two games.
Yeah. Expanding on what I was saying earlier, U.S. Soccer, they do such a good job of taking that show on the road. The men's team's always playing everywhere. The women's team's always playing everywhere. I just get so jealous when I see stuff like that because I drove all the way up to Columbus to see the U.S. men's team play against Canada in like a pre-World Cup of hockey game. I think that's the only game the U.S. won. It was like...
oh, it was so bad.
Oh, it was really bad. But like, I feel like if you could move that around a little bit more, it would... Especially bringing, you know... patriotism into it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
it's a great way to market the sport. And that's one thing that U.S. soccer has done such a good job of. Soccer is growing anyway, but loving the U.S. men's team makes it so easy when it's like, oh, it's the U.S., you yeah, know?
My country.
Yeah, it's my country.
My country. When, yeah. The development team does travel because that's what they are. They're part of basically the U.S. junior program, mm-hmm. and they travel around and they play exhibitions against Division I college teams. So they come to Huntsville. Usually it's every other year. I don't think they're on the schedule this year. This would mm-hmm. be the year for them to come. But they do come to Huntsville often to play them. They go and play Harvard sometimes. They'll play Michigan. Mm-hmm. They'll play college teams. They'll play USHL teams. So they do travel around, but it's still – not the same because a lot of those guys in that program, because it's the U18 program,
yeah,
are not drafted yet. So you don't know unless you're projected to go high.
See, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, because Caleb Jones, Seth Jones' brother,
yeah.
was on there. So Austin Matthews. So a couple years ago, yeah. Austin Matthews being part of the development team program came to Huntsville and I was able to scout and watch Austin Matthews play hockey the year he was going to be drafted really high. And yeah. so it was one of those things where you're going, okay, I know this kid's going to be a superstar, yeah. and I'm interviewing him in a hallway at Alabama Huntsville with, yeah. where he's wearing like this knit hat where he looks like one of the Seven Dwarfs. And that's just – and yeah. And then there's other guys like Jordan Greenway, so many other major prospects from the U.S. program coming through there, and people don't even know. So it's one of those things. Do your research. Know who's coming through for some of these programs, especially Huntsville, only an hour and a half away from Nashville.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to see some future stars play, and Huntsville's going to eventually have them as well. But seeing some of these kids that come through and play at Huntsville,
yeah,
do it.
And they've got a great rink down there. I went down there and had a lot of fun. It's big, but it's a good place to watch a hockey game. The crowd, when I went, like a fraternity turned it into their own little gong show.
Yeah, they did. But that's college hockey. It's supposed to be fun. And that's where some of these rinks up in the north and northeast, they're smaller, and so they're smaller barns, and you get loud and rowdy and ruckus. I mean, even Harvard.
Yeah.
Harvard has a great crowd up there with the way you have guys with their shirts off, painted chests and everything, and you have a pet band going. It is a lot of fun. So I wish that Huntsville almost had a smaller arena so you could have more of that closer, tight-knit mm-hmm. atmosphere for it. But, yeah, get down there. The season's coming, and it's a lot of fun. They even have a Huntsville product playing on the team. Josh Kessner, he's from Huntsville. He's raised in the Huntsville hockey program. That's pretty cool right there, because eventually Nashville's going to have that, where you have these Nashville kids playing all the way through junior and college and coming through.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, how excited is this fan base going to get when there's somebody like that, like the what Austin Matthews is to yep. the Arizona organization? If Arizona could have just sucked a little bit more.
Just a teensy bit more.
Like if you're the ownership group, how are you not telling your GM, like, man, sell everything. We need that first overall pick.
What can we trade away? Do you have houses?
Trade the next 7 first round picks. I don't care. We're going to market the crap out of this kid, and it's going to finally put us over. Just make sure we suck a lot And if we don't get it, do whatever it takes.
And what could be great is that another Canadian team could have an American captain.
Right?
It's like Montreal. Think of the two meccas of Canadian hockey, though. Toronto and Montreal. You know, Pacioretty.
Yeah.
With Montreal. And then if Austin Matthews gets the captaincy somehow in Toronto, the two hockey meccas have American captains.
Yeah. And, like, I've got, like, Canadian friends I talk to on Twitter and stuff. Mm-hmm. And anytime, like, you're going back and forth, it's like, oh, well, Canada hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1993. Yeah, but every U.S. team has Canadian players up and down the roster. It's like, well, yeah, but the player who's probably going to bring the Stanley Cup to the Canadian team is born in Arizona.
So take that, haters of Sunbelt hockey. What are you going to do then?
Yeah, how many of them were talking about move them? They need to get out of Arizona.
No, but hockey doesn't belong in the South. If they can't have ice naturally, they don't deserve hockey. Really? But anyways. Anyways.
So
Fishay.
Yeah, some things did happen. Mike Fisher finally gave us word. He is retiring. That seems like so long ago at this point, but it's been a little bit since we've recorded.
So many things happened right after we recorded our last episode. It's like, of course. So what's going to happen now?
Yeah. We recorded on Thursday. I think some of this was announced on Friday. Mm-hmm. I know Ryan Johansson. Yeah. So, but we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, Mike Fisher, good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's obvious the importance in his life is gearing more towards being a father, staying with his family.
Holding Carrie's purse. That's hilarious. What? It's hilarious when he has to do that because, hey, at least he's there.
Yeah.
Now he can be there for awards if he wants to travel with. The whole family can travel now. He can hold a purse. Yeah.
I think it is kind of hilarious because so often you see, like, anytime, like, some famous person's wife does something, it says blank celebrity's wife. Now it's Carrie Underwood's husband retires from the NHL.
Hey, but you know what? At least we don't have to deal with any more of those Mike Underwood jokes.
Yeah.
It's the person's name is their name.
Yeah.
Use their name. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean,
we've heard him all the time. But, you know, props to him. He did so much. And I even said this on Twitter, too, is more what I remember about Mike Fisher is his off-ice work. And he's going to continue doing that, of course, because that's just who he is.
Yeah.
But it's all of his off-ice work with charity, with Room in the Inn, and everything that he's been able to do off the ice. That right there is showing true leadership. And what gets me is there's some people, it's like, I never saw him do anything on the ice. What kind of leader is he? Folks, being a captain or a leader of any sports team, it's not just what you see on the ice or on camera or anything like that. Being a leader is what happens behind closed doors, how they are seen in the community, what they do on and off the ice and behind closed doors with the team, what they talk to the team with, how they text the team, how they call the team. All that kind of stuff goes into what a leader is. So for someone to judge what kind of leader someone is based on the only thing they see is what's publicly produced or you see on the ice has no sense in here. Just like how people were saying Shea Weber was a bad leader. You don't know what type of leader this person is because you don't know what goes on behind closed doors in that locker room. We saw a little taste of that in a Showtime special with Mike Fisher, what he said, which was absolutely great, the emotion there. So
Absolutely. That
gives you a taste, and you know what kind of person Mike Fisher is. But please, don't judge what type of leader is based on what you just see on certain things. You don't know. That's why, and then I'll give it all to you because I'm ranting, I know. But that's why I don't care what people think who the next captain should be. I could give a rat's behind what you think should be the next captain because it doesn't matter to anybody but the team and the organization. They make the choice because they know what types of leaders these players are and who should be in the leadership discussion. There's a reason why Neil was wearing an A, and people may not see, but there was a reason. They had their own reasoning behind why Neil had an A. We won't know that. They have the reasoning. It's okay for let the team choose because someone's going to be upset that either Yossi or Ellis or Johansson or Subban didn't get it. And it doesn't matter. It's a game.
I'd be perfectly fine if they took time to make that decision, like waiting a season, because that's not a decision you want to rush yourself into.
No.
The San Jose Sharks have stripped two captains. And inside of that locker room, it probably didn't make much of a difference. The whole time they probably had three captains.
Mm-hmm.
It just shifted from one to another.
Yeah.
once those locker room doors are shut, the leaders are who they are.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what letter is on your chest or not.
And just remember, Pekka Rinne. I mean, a goaltender cannot serve as captain on the ice, folks. He can be the honorary kind of thing. And everybody's like, oh, he's the captain. But it doesn't mean jack squat on the ice because a goaltender cannot serve as a captain during a game. And Luong did it. It was a nightmare. And people were like, oh, Pekka Rinne is different. Look, it's just a disaster. You want somebody that can wear a letter that can skate anywhere on the ice, and goaltenders can't. It's okay. Pekka's a leader. They know that. He doesn't have to wear a letter to be a leader. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Ryan Johansson signed a monstrous contract. We've got him locked in for a good long time. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and I'm okay with this. I know some people are not going to be okay with the money part of it. And I'll admit, I had a call with Edmonton Radio of all places talking about Ryan Johansson.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Big Shot.
That's Mr. Bradford. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
But talking about the Johansson contract, did David Poile overpay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Most GMs overpay for star players. That's just how it works. But if Johansson, being that he's only 24 years old, if in the next 2, 3, 4 years he continues the production and then even kicks it up a notch, that becomes a value signing when you look at cap hits and how they continue to grow and the way the league is going. That's just how it goes. I mean, everybody thought 8 and 8. I think everybody was thinking, well, 8 and 8's the perfect kind of medium there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Johansson probably worth more around a 7, 7.5. There was no way he was going to sign for that. That's just what he's probably worth in the market. But it can be a very good contract when you look at the future. And as we've seen so many times, David Poile, he's always looking towards the future and what he can do, how it's preparing this team for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Especially after the Connor McDavid signing, mm-hmm. that kind of changed the scope of what each player in position is worth. Connor McDavid being a center, Ryan Johansson being a center. You have to look at how much worse is Johansson behind. Well, not worse, but McDavid's here, Johansson's here, thus meaning this is what he's worth. Yes. It changes things, and that's the biggest contract yet, the McDavid contract. So, especially at the center position, it's going to change the way those deals are done.
Absolutely does. And for people that are worried about, well, maybe Johansson just won't come back. He was coming back to Nashville. All signs pointed that. One, because he was an RFA. So Predators had his rights. So they're going to have to trade or something. They would have gotten pretty good stuff in return.
Absolutely.
Two, look at the way he's active with teammates. He was there with James Neal when Neal got selected in the expansion draft. He's been around all these players. He's been, when you think about it, and this is where the things you see what they publicly post on social media, very loyal to Nashville in general, in terms of the team and the fans and how he's continuing to talk about it. You don't see that, guys that don't want to be with the team. And what he was asking was not absurd. It's not like he was asking for $9.5-10 million. He was asking for what he think fair value was for the length of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So you think 61 points last season, if he puts up that amount or more as a center, and he showed his value from him missing the Stanley Cup final, then it's worth it that way because you look at the way the future is going to go, like I already said. So I think that's what you have to look at with these contracts is what is the future of this, because Poile's thinking about the future and having these guys locked up for that term, because now the guys you got to start thinking forward to are, oh, God, now what are they going to do with Ryan Ellis? Oh, my God, we're thinking about Ellis's contract already again? I mean, that's how locked up this team is right now.
Yeah. It's also interesting, like, how long has it been since David Poile signed, like, fair market value for anybody? Like, it's been a little bit.
Now, some of the guys that are in bottom six paying fair value for the Pontus Oberg contract. I know we talked about that. That's fair.
Yeah.
It's still kind of entry-level money, and who knows what he could do. He could end up being a 15-goal guy.
Yeah.
And that's very fair.
Yeah, especially with the sample size of him in the NHL. Yep. His side probably wants more time for him to show what he can do before a long-term contract comes up. The Predators want to make sure he's not a fluke before they give him something big.
Yep.
So that shorter contract makes perfect sense just because he hasn't been full-time in the NHL yet. Once that takes place, then you know, okay, this player's worth this
amount. Same with Gaudreau. Good bottom six guy, but he could end up being a guy that's worth 1.5 mil. That's not what he's making. That's okay. That's where David Poile is managing the money very well, because you pay the players that you want to keep for a long period of time. Now look how long the top line is set.
Yeah.
That gives stability, and you want stability in Nashville. That's what you want, because now you keep that window open. Even with the goaltending situation, the next couple of years will be switching around a little bit. But you have that core lined up. Then you look at the defensive side, what's in the waiting in the wings, as we already talked about some of those guys, plus Alex Carrier down there. And then you have Allard, who we didn't even get – you know, he's not even on the Canada roster, but he's still one of those guys that's a good prospect. Girard, Fabro, Ferentz. I mean, the list goes on about these prospects, which are great trade tools as well.
Yeah.
For more things in the future. And plus, there's cap room.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go to Jaromir Jagr.
You did say you wanted to get that out there. You don't want to sign a 45-year-old forward?
Look, I love Jaromir Jagr and what he's been able to do, what he's been able to accomplish in his career. Would it be awesome to have a Jagr Preds jersey for a reason? Yes. Does he belong in the system that Peter Laviolette runs and the way this team is being built right now? No.
No, not at all. In 2013-14, I was banging the Jagr drum because it's like, hey, we've got a lot of younger guys having...
He was also banging other things. Hey, y'all!
There's photographic evidence of that.
Yes, sir. Way to go, Yogs. Oh, boy. That's hey, it's her own fault.
That's my favorite story where he's just like, I don't care.
I don't even care. Yeah, no. Blackmail me. Go for it. It's your which, problem to
why
deal
not?
With.
He's not married. Like.
Yeah. She was the one in a relationship, so, and she took the picture.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, like where Florida was at, where they had him for such a long time. That's perfect. It's a big name that you're bringing in. You can help sell some tickets and some jerseys. Team learns from him. And that's great. The Predators are not in that point anymore. It's time to move on and get current contributing pieces.
Yeah.
It's not time for people to learn anymore. Now it's time to act.
No, absolutely agree. And he's going to get signed. Someone's going to get injured in the preseason, or someone's going to truly underperform or something like that, and a team's going to sign him. It's going to happen. I think he's still a little picky because from what we know in the past, he does not play in the West because of the travel.
Yeah.
Being his age, I mean, he stays pretty chipper because of the East. The East has a much lighter travel schedule, which is totally fine. It's just if he wants to keep playing in the NHL, he might have to say, okay, someone in the West.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? But anyways, yeah, the Jagr thing, you know, it's always fun banter, but he doesn't belong in the system here. Would it be fun? Yes, but then you're taking a spot away from a young guy that could really actually have an opportunity to reach his potential.
Yeah. I do want a Jagr jersey, though. That'd be really cool.
Go get one. There's so many teams you could choose from. Your pick.
Speaking of jerseys.
Oh, segue, baby. Man, I am proud of you.
This whole jersey situation is getting dusted up again. People are freaking out again. A lot of negativity surrounding the whole thing, which is, it's like a negativity massive dump. Like, it's just everybody unloading any negativity they have built within, because there's literally nothing else to complain about right now. So everybody's like, oh, this is the worst jersey I've ever seen. It looks like a t-shirt. Small-time problems. Nothing is going on right now, so you have time to complain about this. 5 games in, even. It's not something you're even going to be remotely thinking about. Predators are going to be doing well, and you're going to be excited about that. Predators are not doing well, and you're going to be angry about that. You know what you're not going to be thinking about? What the jersey looks like.
You know what doesn't win Stanley Cups? Jerseys.
No.
You know what does? The team.
Yes. My young competitive team ruined their jerseys. I'm never watching again.
They're never going to win a Stanley Cup in these.
Never.
Oh, my God. They should just be the fish stick uniform from the Islanders. Which I think, you know, was pretty hilariously awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love that jersey.
But I mean, it's a jersey, folks. It is, and the thing is, too, when people started seeing it on Nash, when the shoulders fell out a little bit more, oh, well, that's not so bad. It's going to be the same, just like the gold helmets.
Yeah.
Now when you see a navy helmet, it's like, that's weird.
Yeah.
You get used to it. It's okay. It's just a jersey. And there'll be a third one that'll come out eventually, and they'll go through the different things because it's Adidas, and Adidas is always going to change things because of why? Money.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it's going to work. It's just a jersey.
And then they're going to put ads on it, and that's going to be another thing to get upset about.
Yep, the Bridgestone ad, Nissan ad.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's made for it on the shoulders.
Which I'm not in favor of in the least. I'm not the biggest fan.
Tough noogies.
But at the end of the day, the color of the jersey, the layout of the jersey, this is not why I watch hockey. Now, I love a good-looking jersey.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to watch a fun competitive team for them being a fun competitive team.
You know who's not going to watch a fun competitive team? Colorado. Sorry.
Playing the hits.
You set it up perfectly, so I just thought I'd take it.
Oh, man. Who else? Vancouver. Vancouver's not going to watch a fun competitive team.
Oh, man. You know what? Detroit's going to have a great arena, but... We were about to fart noise something bad there.
Yeah. That arena does look beautiful.
Yeah, well, you blame the GM for that. Blame Ken Holland. Ken Holland pulled off some great things for a while there.
Yeah.
And then signed some really bad contracts.
Yeah.
We're not going to rebuild. Dude, you should be rebuilding. Seriously, rebuild with Larkin and Nyquist. Rebuild.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Sell.
They should have.
Yeah.
It's
getting to the point where it's too late for stuff like that.
I mean, if they can have a controlled rebuild, it'll be better off than what Colorado's going through.
Yeah. And I think looking at Colorado, holding off for so long does not benefit you in the least.
No.
You need to realize what you are and adapt. Adapt or die.
So if you suck, then learn to get better. I mean, Phoenix is trying. Arizona's trying.
Yeah.
Arizona's trying to change things. Now, maybe people don't agree with what they're doing, but you can tell they are trying to change things to what's best for them.
Yeah.
Some people may call it stupid. Yeah. I'm not in the situation or following it enough. I think they could have done some other things differently, but you can tell they're trying certain things out. Colorado is still on the pot, and by that time, I think you have hemorrhoids.
Yeah. I heard somebody talking about just the amount of contracts they have. Like, it's absurdly low. I don't remember the exact number, but good Lord, do something. Do your job.
Do your job. Speaking of jobs, where a lot of the Preds media people that do jobs in media are going to be getting together soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Schnitzel.
Like
schnitzel.
And beer. And pretzels.
Pretzels.
And kraut. So, on August 29th, it's going to be myself, Jeremy K. Gover of the National Predators Radio Network and the Associated Press, Christopher Martel, who's Fox Sports Tennessee, Robbie Stanley of NHL.com and a 102.5 The Game contributor, and Cutler Klein, who's also Penalty Box Radio, and Michael Gallagher, who's also Penalty Box Radio, all getting together at Bavarian Beer House at Hoppy Mills. It's going to be a fun event because food, beer, free parking, which is big in Nashville to have free parking somewhere and it be spaced enough to where people could be comfortable and sitting there and everything like that. We're going to have an open panel, a two-hour open panel, where we're going to talk all things Preds and hockey and do an open Q&A on the floor. And you know what, Cameron? We have giveaways.
Ooh.
We have door prizes to give away.
Ooh.
So... this is, you know, we're trying to you know, get people there to have fun, but we also want to make sure that they're rewarded by coming out to this event because Bavarian Beer House is being awesome. They're giving us their private room, which will fill 100 people.
Wow.
I mean, there are TVs and everything. It's a great place. A full-on German-style menu with beer, like 7 different German beers on tap, which is going to be great. And it's a family-friendly atmosphere, too. So it's not just a bar, a grungy bar, and everything like that. It's at Opry Mills. So some of the prize we're giving away... is we have someone that has donated an Amazon Dot. It's like we're $50 right there. Then we have the Predators gave us a nice goodie bag full of Western Conference Championship gear.
Ooh.
Yeah. Milwaukee Admirals are sending us a nice swag bag as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Dude, we're going all out.
You can't get a lot of Milwaukee Admirals stuff down here.
No. That's why it's important for us. The Capitol Theater over in Lebanon is donating gift cards and free passes to upcoming performances there. Chick-fil-A, multiple Chick-fil-A's are giving us some swag. Ships and Trips Travel's giving us a swag bag too, like travel gear. Let's see what else. Oh my God, there's so much stuff we're going to be giving away. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait because we're going to make some people. Oh, we have a photography package coming in. We have so many different types of things that are coming in. Jamba Juice passes, like for free drinks from Jamba Juice. I mean, It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be from 7 to 9 at Bavarian Beer House on August 29th. So save the date. I hope to see you there. Come up and meet us. Cameron, I know you're going to be there,
right? I will be there. I will be loitering in the back.
And eating schnitzel.
Yes.
Which, okay. Speaking of schnitzel, we haven't talked about food much yet.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize that it's just another word for so many different things, that chicken fried chicken is schnitzel.
Yeah.
I'm probably in the minority here, but I did not realize that. Like, I understood that they're similar, but I don't understand that they're actually categorized as the same thing. That it's just, like, meat that's patted down and then battered and fried.
Yeah. So, I grew up in California, and there's a fast food chain out there. I compare it to Taco Bell sometimes, where it's the same three ingredients mashed into different things. But the place is called Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh.
And it's, like, chili cheese, hot dogs, like burgers, and like, you know, it's just a different combination.
So it's not veal.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. It, like, they don't serve schnitzel at all. But I always thought when I heard schnitzel, it's like, oh, it's a name for hot dogs.
Yeah.
It's Wiener Schnitzel. But no, not at all.
No. Well, that's weird. Yeah. Cause I read that in order, like in Germany, in order to be called Wiener Schnitzel, it has to have veal. If it does not include veal, then they have to call it something else.
That's interesting.
They can call it Wiener Schnitzel with other words behind it saying,
yeah,
okay, it's Wiener Schnitzel, but not actually Wiener.
Yeah, no, this is Wiener Schnitzel. Like, disgusting hot dogs that you eat three at a time.
Hey, hot dogs aren't disgusting. They're good at the gas station.
We all know there's certain places that are disgusting, but you eat it anyway. Just based on numbers, pick your like your least favorite fast food restaurant. You still eat there sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Just based on numbers, based on the percentage of humanity who goes to these places, you still eat there. Plenty of people talk crap about McDonald's. Numbers show everyone loves McDonald's. You go there, you get the chicken nuggets because you're getting home at 10:45.
And they're cheap.
You're not going to cook. You just want something quick. You get the Sriracha Mac sauce, which they've got right now, which is basically spicy Thousand Island dressing, and it's amazing. Highly recommend it.
Someone's been watching a lot of TV and commercials.
No, I eat a lot of fast food.
Oh, that too. So before we wrap up, I know there's another fun event. I mean, we're full of fun events.
Hold on real quick with the Preds Media Panel. Just the Preds Media Panel specifically.
Yeah.
If you're a newer fan, which I'm sure there's quite a few, this seems to me like the perfect event.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming right before training camp and preseason starts.
Week before rookies report.
Yeah. So this is a good refresher course if you've been taken out for a little bit. If you're newer, it's a good way to brush up and, you know, learn some stuff. It seems like the perfect event for a lot of people. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you come out and meet us.
Yeah, and especially, too, because so many people see how a lot of us interact on Twitter, especially, like, the way Martel Gover and I are always going after each other. It's one of those things that it's fun for people to get to experience how we all interact.
And I'm sure it's worse in person.
Oh, it's great in person. It's great in person. So that's what I want people to experience too, is just how we all interact, how they may think we all hate each other sometimes, but we're all friends. And that's what's so fun of, especially Preds Media, that we're all close. And the name of the event is called From Stands to Press Box.
Yeah.
Because every single person on this panel went from sitting in the stands to being a fully credentialed member of the National Predators Media.
That's awesome.
And I know myself, I think Martel, Robbie, and Gover are all from 303.
Yeah.
It's like a breeding ground for Preds Media for a very long time. And I know past guys like Patton Fuqua was also in 303 when he was writing and covering the Predators as well, who's also now part of Building the Box Radio. But we just have everybody, man.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that's why I think it's a fun story, because we all can kind of share as well our stories and hopefully people realize that we came from where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if there's young folks there that are in high school or in college, that, hey, if this is something you want to do, dream it. I mean, I don't want to be cliche, but if you want to do something like this, work hard, prove your worth, and you can do stuff that's fun and exciting and hold other jobs, because majority of us all have other jobs, mm-hmm. or they're a student, or they work in other things or doing other stuff, that this is not necessarily everybody's full-time job, that we do this because we love doing it and we kind of get paid for it a little bit as well, but it's not what pays the mortgage. Mm-hmm. And so it's an opportunity to show people that, look, if you want to do this as part of your career in the future, you can. And that's what I want people to realize as well, is that there's so many people out there that can do this, and you don't have to be writing for the big newspaper or covering mm-hmm. it for TV if you still enjoy this and have opinions and are really good at it and work hard. So it's another – that's adding onto it as well.
Absolutely.
More fun stuff.
More fun stuff. I have never been on a cruise,
ooh.
Which is why I'm kind of excited about this news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear some details.
All right. So Penalty Box Radio, along with our partner, Ships and Trips Travel, we are planning a cruise for 2018. Yeah. So it's a year away. Over a year away. So lots and lots of time to prepare for it. September 3rd through 7, 2018. That's a Monday to Friday. It'd be out of Miami, Florida. So if you're going to fly, you can fly like Fort Lauderdale and take transportation there, or fly to Miami, whichever is easiest for you or cheaper. Whatever. We're on Royal Caribbean, the Mariner of the Seas, going to Nassau, Bahamas, and Coco Cay, which is the private island for Royal Caribbean. Yes.
Ooh.
So this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be themed. The ship has an ice rink on it.
Ooh.
So with skate rentals and things like that, we can't, as of now, we cannot bring hockey equipment on there. Because, like, internationally, apparently they consider it a weapon. A big stick, not like you can swing it at anybody.
Yeah.
Cameron.
I mean, I did get a roughing penalty recently.
See? But it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some themed events and themed drinks. And the best part of this is, too, part of the booking fees and part of the drink costs will go to charity. And we're going to help the Predators Foundation and keep on growing and helping other local charities as well. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to push, too, is that it's all for a good cause and for good fun. Mm-hmm. And it's starting at $669.
That's not bad at all.
Per person for that long, for 3rd through 7th of September.
Yeah.
Right before preseason starts. So it's not going to interrupt with your hockey at all. It'll be absolutely perfect for everyone to be able to be a part of this. And we're going to have specific events that are hockey, to where we'll do like Q&A sessions, we'll do hockey talk sessions, things like that, because I know we'll have fans from all ages and all backgrounds coming on this thing. But it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to have a hockey-themed cruise with an ice rink on the ship.
Yeah.
And be able to hang out with people of like minds. I mean, that's, you want to hang out with other hockey fans, to talk about the Predators too, to talk hockey with people, especially right before the season starting. It's the perfect time.
Yeah. And if you're a bigger gentleman like I am, you don't have to take your shirt off at the ice rink. You would have to at the pool or the beach. But if you're at the ice rink, you'd actually want to put more stuff on. So that's perfect for us.
It is. It is perfect. And we're going to have an early booking incentive that if you're able to book by August 31st of this year,
mm-hmm.
So I know it's only a couple of weeks, but it's trying to, you know, fill up some rooms.
Sure.
You're going to get $50 per stateroom of onboard spending credit. And you can use it towards drinks, ooh. Towards other things, you know, like towards the spa, all that kind of stuff. And also an entry to win a Natural Predators jersey and some other prizes as well that are going to get donated. So there's a little incentive there to book early to make sure we have your room and everything like that saved for you as well. So you can go to Penalty Box Radio on social media. We're going to have all that information up for you if you want to go and search there. It's one of those things. We're really excited about this because I know people have tried before to get it going. But, yeah, we're excited to host something like this, to get everybody together, to talk hockey, to do things like that. We'll probably record something.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll definitely be going. So, like, we could definitely work that out.
And the thing is, too, people, you're going to have some time to save. If you can't do the early booking on that, you're going to have a little bit of time, because only $100 per person deposit is due at the time of your booking, and then you have to have your final payment in by June 1st, 2018.
That's
so
awesome.
I know it's tough because season tickets are expensive for people.
Yeah.
Life happens. You have kids, everything, finding all that stuff. That's why we wanted to plan this really, really far out, to give people time to save money to be able to book something like this. The payment plans are going to be available as well. So don't let this discourage you from coming. If you're like, I can't afford it right now. You have time. You have opportunity. Come with us. Come join the fun. Talk hockey. Experience skating on a ship in the middle of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't wait to do that. Like, I'm going to be on a boat.
Hopefully there's not like a storm where it's
in the Bahamas.
Hopefully there's no storm like pushing us back and forth across the rink.
Well, it's a big enough boat. I hope we don't deal with any of that. But if we do, you're darn right I'm going to get social media coverage of that, because that'll be great. So
wonderful.
But anyway, especially to kick off the season, it's the perfect time
yeah.
to go on a trip like this. So hopefully everybody can join us and you have time.
Yeah. I alluded to it during that whole thing, but we should probably circle back around to what we talked about last week, the Mighty Drunks versus Misfits matchup.
Oh, yeah.
That you were out of town for.
And that apparently my team won without me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you scored a goal.
Yeah. Still lost. Sucks to suck.
Oh, my God, man. You scored a goal. I've not scored a goal in close to a year.
I know. Like, I feel like I'm doing pretty good because I feel like I'm getting at least a good look once a game.
That's good.
Yeah. Like, we played... Who did we play? We played Puck Me.
Yeah.
Puck Me.
Watch your words. Language.
That's the team name.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And, like, the goalie was down, and, like, I'm standing at the top of the crease, the puck's to the right side of me. I turn slightly, I get my stick on the puck, and I try and scoop it in with the backhand. I'm left-handed, so I'm trying
to... Uh-huh.
Hits the post.
Oh, dude. I've been there so many times.
Yeah. I did get a goal, and a lot of it just came from being in the right spot, you know.
That's how you play?
Oh, yeah. I go and I sit right in front of the crease and hope something good happens for me.
I'm sure sometimes you're actually sitting, too. Because I know I have been actually sitting sometimes.
So my go-to celebration, apparently, because the two times I've scored, is to instantly fall down. Each time.
Oh,
I start celebrating. I put my hands in the air. Fall down. Perfect D-League celebration.
Oh, my gosh.
But against the Mighty Drunks, I did get a roughing penalty.
You need to stop that, man.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of unfortunate because I was going for the puck.
Sure you were.
Mighty Drunks player, I forget who it was. I'm bad with names anyway.
Friend.
Yeah. He skates in front of me. I'm not good at stopping. I put my arm up to, like, kind of brace myself. It looks like I'm pushing him into the boards. And the referee comes to me and he's like, "Hey, man, I know you have trouble stopping, but I got to call that every time. I just got to call that every time."
If at least
I
didn't he was call nice.
It, yeah. No, he was very nice about it. He's like, "You just need to be a little bit more responsible and you'll be fine. If you didn't put your arm up, I wouldn't have called it."
Yeah,
and
keep your hands down.
Yeah. Which I'm just doing the natural, like,
I know. I had a player do that last week, and he kind of smiled afterward. I think he actually meant to hit the guy, but he has trouble stopping as well. And he, like, had his arms out and followed through.
Oh, no.
Like, dude, you use your body. You're big enough, dude. Just use your body if you're going to hit somebody like that. And you can always fall back on the, "Oh, I can't stop." But if you put your arms out and then finish with the whoosh.
Yeah,
that's a check.
You can't do that.
That's 2 minutes for you can't do that. Anyways.
All right. Where are we at on time?
It's time to wrap up. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've just about covered everything. Do you have anything else to add?
Well, coming up soon, it's almost time to start training camp and rookie camp talk because it is almost September. I mean, it's almost, but it's mid-August now.
It's so crazy how short this offseason was. Like, I know we got to watch the last game of the year, but it really has been creeping up quick, which is exciting. I'm excited to have the season here. Preseason starts on the 19th of next month. We're like a month away. It's insane. Yeah.
And I mean, after we finish recording this, the Preds are going to sign Jaeger. So watch it happen.
Please no.
Please no, but watch it happen. Okay. Wrap it up, Cam.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. This is Cameron Gumpy at Cam Gumpy, Justin Bradford at Justin B. Bradford, at Be Free. 1231 at Be Free 1231. Thank you for listening and enjoy what remains of your off season.
Is it just fantasy? Caught in a landslide.
No escape from reality.
Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see.
I'm completely tone deaf.
I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy, because it's easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Anywhere the wind blows doesn't really matter to me.